At this time, if you would, grab your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter number 18, and hopefully I'll be able to encourage you tonight with the Word of God in Genesis chapter number 18. And tonight we'll be dealing with about giving of our best. And whenever you look in the Word of God and someone asked you to name, you know, take a list and to name some godly men that comes to your mind, I would believe that probably one of those men would be Abraham. Now, Abraham did have his faults and failures and mistakes, but you and I have our own faults and failures and mistakes, amen? But we are to strive to be perfect, as the Word of God says, and be able to give of our best. But here in Genesis chapter number 18, if you would, and are able to, if you wouldn't mind standing as we read the Word of God in honor of it, we're going to read verse 1 down through verse number 11 for our passage this evening. Genesis chapter number 18, and verse number 1, the Bible says, "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. And said, My Lord, if thou have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore ye come to your servant." And they said, "So do as thou hast said." And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, "Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, make cakes upon the hearth." And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, "Where is Sarah thy wife?" And he said, "Behold, in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son." And Sarah heard in the tent door, which was behind him. Verse number 11. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, I just want to say thank you for this opportunity to be able to stand in this pulpit, to be able to present your word. Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Father, I pray that you would just help us to glean from it. And Lord, that we would be open. Our hearts would be open. Our minds would be open, Lord, to what you would have to say to us. And Lord, I pray if there's any distractions, any cares, Lord, that you would help us to be able to remove those to the side, to where we can focus upon you. And God, we ask that you would find a comfortable spot here, Lord, to be able to speak to our hearts. God, I pray that you would just use me. I pray that you'd remove me to the side, and Lord, that you would just have your will and way. Help me to be obedient to the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to have free reign about this place. And Lord, I pray if there's someone here that's lost tonight, Lord, that you would speak to their heart, convict their need of a Savior. God, do what you would have, do your will. Not that we're demanding, but Lord, we're expecting great things because of who you are. I just pray that you would do so. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated at this time. If you look at this whole passage of Genesis chapter number 18 and dealing with the fact of Abraham's life and given this opportunity there in verse number 1, it says, "The Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day." This whole passage is dealing with of Abraham's service unto the Lord, whether it be of this sacrifice given, whether it be to his family. We'll see that here in just a moment. But whatever it might have been here, he wanted to make sure that he gave his Lord the best. And that ought to be our heart's desire in our service unto God, is to be able to give him our best. Not to go through, you know, through one day giving him our best and another day thinking about maybe giving our best and another day not giving him our best. No, each and every day of our service, of our life to him ought to be our best. Amen. He gave us his best, not that he had any flaw, any error in him, but he gave all. Jesus gave all for you and I to give us that hope of salvation, to be able to give us a home in heaven. And at least that we can do is to be able to give our bodies a living sacrifice unto him, but we ought to do it with giving of our best. Here in verse number 1 and down through verse number 11, we see that Abraham is showing in his life here of example of that this is an important time in his life. Whenever the Lord came, it says that he ran to meet him. Whenever he wanted to serve God, he hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly." And there, where in verse number 7, he's giving the sacrifice unto this young man. It says, and he hasted to dress it. You'll see that Abraham's not wanting to waste any time here of serving his God. I believe a lot of times we get those opportunities, and I'm sure you've done this, including myself. We'll go into a store, and we leave the store, and we realize that God had given us an opportunity, and we regret that we didn't take that opportunity. It's because we were going into the store and trying to hurry up and get in there. I don't know about you, but I'd rather not go to Walmart or not go into a store or go shopping. But we get in there, want to do what we want to do, and then get right back out. But listen, there's many lost people in that store. There's people there that we come in contact with. And we ought to give our best service, not just for these people, but unto the Lord to be a witness unto them. Amen. Give of our best in our service unto Him. If you'll notice the scene here at the very end of verse number 1, it says that he's sitting at this tent door in the heat of the day. Now, I don't know how warm it can get up here, but in Oklahoma in the summer, it can get up to 110, 115 degrees, and that's not heat index. Back in 2011, we had, I believe it was about 100 days of at least 110 degrees. That was a very, very hot year. But in the heat of the day, when you're standing outside and you open the door, it's almost as if you just opened up an oven and the heat just takes your energy out. You're exhausted, you're uncomfortable, you're sweaty, and you just don't feel like doing anything. Well, I can imagine Abraham here sitting at the tent door, and the Bible says in the heat of the day, being maybe a little bit exhausted, maybe a little bit drained from the heat. But you know what? He didn't let his circumstances deter him from serving his Savior. Amen. I believe a lot of times we allow circumstances get in the way of serving our Savior. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, maybe we wake up on a Sunday morning and we're saying, well, I don't have the energy to go. We're using our circumstances, whether or not we want to serve God or not. Or there's maybe family members that are coming in, and we'll show that here in just a moment, but there's family members that are coming in and we don't want to go to church because we have family at our house. Well, who's more important in your life, your family or God? Because my Savior told the disciples, you cannot be my disciples except you leave father and mother and brother and sister. And it goes on mentioning the family members. Listen, God ought to be the most important in your life. And we ought to give Him our best service because He so deserves it. So circumstances didn't deter Him from giving of His best. But in verse number 2, there was something that He wanted to make sure was right before he even decided to serve God. He wanted to make sure his fellowship with God was correct. He wanted to make sure he spent some time with his Lord. In verse number 2, the Bible was talking about when he saw them at the very end of it. It says he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. You say, well, Brother Riley, how do you know that it was the Lord there? It talks about these three men going there, and how do you know it's the Lord? Listen, the only one deserving of bowing down to is not a man, it's not an angel. The only one that deserves that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that deserves our worship, and He's the only one that deserves of us bowing down to. But Abraham wanted to make sure he spent some time with his Savior before he served. Have you spent some time with God this morning before you come to services? Have you spent some time on a Monday when it's not a church or church day, or what we would think of not the Lord's day, when we know actually every day is the Lord's day, or it should be? Have you spent some time with Him in the morning before you decided to serve Him? I believe worship and service go hand in hand. I believe you cannot have a correct or giving of your best service without worship. You look at Isaiah, whenever he saw the Lord, the Most High, lifted up, what did he say? Here am I, Lord, send me. The moment that Paul got saved there on the road to Damascus, what was the very first words that he had said right after he got saved? What wilt thou have me to do? I believe if we get an understanding and a perspective of who God is, it will drive us, or it will give us a desire in our heart to give our best. And the way to do that is to know Him more and more each and every day, and spend some time with Him, spend some time in worship, spend some time in prayer with Him, as Abraham did here in giving us that example of worshiping Him. In verse number 3, it says, and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. If I have found favor. Abraham wanted to humble himself before God, but he wanted to make sure his heart was right before he took advantage of this opportunity in serving him. He said, what do you mean? He said, if I have found favor, God, I pray that you would look down upon me, look on my heart, and if there's anything that would be there that would hinder of giving of my best to you, I pray that you would show me that. God, I don't want no bitterness. God, I don't want no unforgiveness there. I don't want a wrong spirit. I don't want a wrong attitude. God, I want to be able to give you the best, but I ask that you would look down upon me and find favor there. And if there is something there, I pray that you would show me, and I pray that you would cleanse me from that. Do we have a little bit of bitterness tonight? Unforgiveness. Listen, that's going to hinder our service. Listen, what is the best? It's the best. How can we give him our best service if there is iniquity in our heart or there is sin in our hearts? How can we be a great witness? How can we give our life unto missions if there is something in our heart? How can we give our best unto that? Remember what Jesus said whenever they were coming down to be able to give him a gift there at the altar? He said, if you have aught between you and your brother, go get that taken care of. Listen, we cannot give him our best if there is a problem in our life. We need to get that fixed. And Abraham humbled himself and was humbling him, not prideful and trying to come before him and saying, God, I pray that you would search me. I believe the psalmist said that, search me, O God. There's nothing wrong with God searching our heart. Matter of fact, we need that. For him to search us through the Word of God, to be able to examine our hearts. And listen, we ought to look at that by his standard and not by our standard. He wanted to make sure that his attitude, make sure that his life was right before he served God. You ever heard of, you can do the right thing and it not be the right way? There was a long time ago... For some, you know, you might look at me and say, that's not a long time ago. When I was a child, there was a chore I had to do, taking out the trash. I hated taking out the trash. I've got a lot of people sitting here shaking their heads yes here. That's the first time. But I hate taking out the trash. It stunk. A lot of times the bag would open up, and I had to put the leftover dinner back in the bag, or tape, whatever I had to do. I hated taking out the trash. But my mom and dad would tell me to do that, and I would say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. And whenever I shut the door behind me to go outside, I hate doing this. Throw it in the trash can, and right when I got back to the house, to the doorknob, I did it, Mom. I did it, Dad. Good job, son. You did a fine job. Now, did I do that right? I think a lot of times our service is like that. We do it, maybe we don't necessarily do it with a wrong attitude, but we just kind of do it to, I did my part. I did my job. I went to church today. I read my Bible. I prayed. I gave my tithing. Listen, God doesn't want that. Our service is not a checklist. Our service is from the heart and our love unto him. Listen, salvation was his love to us. Service is showing our love to him. It ought to be our desire to be able to give him our best. But if you look there in verse number 6, not only was he trying to be an example unto himself and be able to have that relationship, but in verse number 6, he goes on with this family there. It says, Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it and make cakes upon the hearth. Now he's in the presence of the Lord there at the tent door on the outside of his home. And he's bowing down and worshiping his Savior. He's making sure his heart is right. And he goes inside the tent. And it's still the same. He's wanting to make sure that his service is the best. He's wanting to tell Sarah, listen, this is our opportunity to serve God. Drop everything you're doing. I don't know if she was, whatever she might have been doing, crocheting, cooking. I don't know what she might have been doing. Making something. But he said, listen, drop everything you're doing. This is a time to serve God. Him being in the presence of God and him going into his home, his whole outlook on it did not change. Meaning, I think a lot of times we come to church and we're in this spirit of serving God, and then it's like when we leave church and go home, we change. We're a totally different person. We're not training our children. We're not being the example to our spouse. We're not serving God, and we're not giving Him our best. We're just kind of nonchalantly just serving Him. But no, Abraham here is going from the presence of God and making sure He gives His best to right into the home and making sure He still gives of His best. And that ought to be the Christian life, no matter where we are at, whether we're here at church, whether we're at home, whether we're at our job. It ought to be the same way everywhere we are at, to give Him our best. He was giving the example of Sarah. Can you imagine Sarah looking at him and saying, "Whoa, what's going on? Hey, the Lord's given us this opportunity to serve Him." I can imagine Sarah looking at his face and saying, "Man, this is important to him. Man, this is great." Abraham wanted to make sure to lead the example of his home. There's nothing else that this world can offer that compares to serving my Savior. Amen. And I want to be able to, myself, to be able to train my children in my home and give them that example. Listen, there's nothing else better in this world than serving God. There's nothing this world can offer. There's nothing else. And listen, I've had my faults and my mistakes, but listen, it is a great thing and a great honor to serve God. But how can I expect out of them of something I'm not showing? You know, we oftentimes teach our children and we expect more out of them. I got it. We want them to be better than us. But at the time of training, how can we expect them to live right? How can we expect them to love the things of God if we're not doing right in our own life and setting that example? We tell our children when we go to churches and also in our own church, be on your best behavior. And I would imagine probably all parents would say that, be on your best behavior. But we tell our children, and mommy and daddy will be on our best behavior too. You say, why do you do that? Listen, I live in this flesh. My flesh is weak. Listen, I need to make sure to live a right life. I need to make sure I have expectations upon myself to do what's right. Why? So I can serve God and be able to give Him my best. Amen. I shouldn't expect something out of them that I wouldn't expect out of myself. But he's showing here unto his family, because Sarah is his wife here, showing his family that there's nothing else better. But not only to his family, here in verse number 7, he's showing outside of his family, maybe unto the world. It says that, and Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. Now, it doesn't say that this young man was of any relationship to Abraham. Now, very well could have been one of his servants, but it says this young man. But not only to Sarah, to his family, but he's also showing unto this young man that there is nothing else better than serving God. Are we sharing unto our community, unto our neighbors, unto this world? Are we sharing Christ unto them? Or are we trying to do things of missions and trying to see if we can do something so we can receive something out of it? Are we trying to give unto missions maybe and trying to give of our best so maybe we can have a tax write-off at the end of the year? Listen, we ought not to look at missions or look at service like that, that we try to get something out of it. Amen. No, we ought to look at service as to be able to be a blessing unto others, to be able to share Christ unto others to a lost and dying world. Whether it be to our family, whether it be to our neighbor, or someone we don't even know, to a coworker. But he made sure to tell this young man, I would imagine, hey, this is specifically for my Savior. This is a time to be able to serve Him, nothing else better. What would be better than best? What would be better than serving God? There's nothing better than serving God. Amen. Nothing. No money, no amount, no person, no place. Nothing else better than serving God. But even in his sacrifice, his time, his family, others, and even in his sacrifice, he wanted to give of his best. It says in verse number 7, and Abraham ran into the herd. And I like these words in the Bible. Every specific word, idle word, is important. It says, and fetched a calf tender and good. He didn't just go out there and just, okay, here's one. I'll give it to God. We treat service like that sometimes, don't we? I'll just do it. And just, okay, here's my sacrifice. No, he fetched. He went out there looking for the best calf. Why? Because my Savior and his Savior deserves the best calf. Deserves the best. I imagine him going out there to the herd and pushing this calf to the side and saying, nope, that one's got a little flaw in it. It's not much, but it's got a little flaw in it. That's not worthy of my Savior. Going out and it says fetched, looking around and right there. That's the best one to be able to give unto my God. Not only that, it was of his herd. He had to sacrifice something of his to give God the best. What is something that you would be willing to give up? Would you be willing to give up or sacrifice? Maybe your time. We mentioned family members a while ago. Your money. What would you be willing to sacrifice to be able to get God the best? What are you willing to push over to the side to be able to give him the best sacrifice? Abraham fetched of something of his own to be able to give God. And it doesn't end there. How many of y'all like steak? That is not very many. Or there's a lot of people that's shy. Let's try this again. How many of y'all like steak? There we go. You people that didn't raise your hand the first time, you must not like steak that much. But if I would take a piece of steak that I ordered at a restaurant, it was too big for me to eat, and I put it in the go box, and then I asked you, I said, would you like to come over for dinner tomorrow night? Sure, what are we having? Oh, we're having steak. You come over, and at your dinner table, you see this to-go box. I'm sure many of you would probably be like, what in the world? And open it up, and you see this half piece of steak. Now, I don't know about you. I like steak. I might just go ahead and eat it, but I would imagine, truthfully, in reality, we'd sit there and say, why are you giving me your leftovers? Why are you giving me this piece of steak? You invited me over as your guest, and it was an honor to come over, but you gave me your leftovers. What about God? How many times do we give him our leftovers? How many times are we busy throughout the day doing what we want to do, doing our hobbies, doing our events, and at the end of the day, I got to read my Bible. Okay, good. 30 minutes, one chapter. God doesn't deserve our leftovers. That's not our best. And he's not going to reward us for that, of giving of our leftovers. He wants our best. Abraham made sure that it was the best. And I like it as it continues on there in verse number 8. Where is he at? He used to be there in the tent door in the heat of the day. And Abraham is not eating this meal, but there at the very end it says he set it before them and he stood by them under the tree. And they did eat. They ate of it. So I see Abraham standing by them underneath this tree. Nowhere do you see Abraham getting a thank you. Nowhere do you see Abraham getting a good job. But you know what? That wasn't Abraham's focus. Our service is not focused on, I want somebody to tell me thank you. I want somebody to see what I did and tell me good job. My focus is to be able to set my sacrifice before him. That way he would be pleased in it. That was Abraham's focus. And he's standing by them under the tree. Why would God put under the tree there? I believe there's a lot of other indications talking about our Savior. But for tonight, for the application, when you're underneath a tree, when it's hot outside and you get underneath a tree, there's relief there. It's comfortable. You just kind of go, ah. Abraham was in the most comfortable spot knowing that the sacrifice he gave unto his Savior, it was pleasing unto him. The most rejoicing, the best joy of your life is knowing that when you've in your heart knowing that you gave your best unto God and he's accepted that service. Amen. My biggest fear is I fail him. You know, we worry about crime. We worry about, you know, things of this world. We worry about finances. We worry about a lot of things. But our biggest fear ought to be that we fail him. But the greatest joy is knowing that he accepted our service unto him. And it still doesn't end there. It says in verse 10, and he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. Now this is a miracle in itself. Because this is a son that was promised unto Abraham and Sarah that they thought they couldn't have. As a matter of fact, they laughed at it whenever God said that Sarah was going to have a son. They tried doing it a wrong way, their way. But God said, I will certainly return, and you're going to have a son. That's a promise given. I will certainly return. And to me, that's a reward in itself, because Sarah was at the age where they thought that she couldn't have a child. But that is a great reward in knowing that she could have a child of herself, that it would come from her, and God promised that. God has promised you a reward. God has told you, those who of us who are saved, those of us that are in service in our church, our local New Testament church, God has promised you, I will certainly return. And He said that I will give you those heavenly treasures. Can you imagine that? That God, all throughout this time, has created us a wretched sinner that we became, or that we are, wants to use us and wants to give us rewards and a home in heaven. But what will we do with those rewards? Once again, service has never been about us. It's been about Him. It's been about others. What will we do before Him? We'll cast those rewards down at His feet. Why? Because He gave me the energy. He gave me the ability. He's the one that called me. He's the one that gave me the path. He's the one that allowed me to do that, to allow me to be in His service. It was all about Him. And I'll cast Him down before His feet. But I would hate to be able to only have a handful, and not saying the amount is the importance here, but I would hate to have a handful knowing I could have done better and saying, here's all I have. I'm sorry. What we do here on earth really shows what we think about our Savior. Because we're striving for those heavenly treasures to be able to lay Him down at His feet. Isn't that a great thing? Knowing that God has chosen us. I want you to look at last of all, there in verse number 11. It says, now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. How many times have a message of like this, of serving, that a lot of the elderly will sit there and say, well, I can't do nothing. I'm too old. My body is not the way it used to be. Tell that to Sarah. She's too old. Her body is not the way that it should be or could be, but God still used her. They didn't trust in God. There in the previous chapter, as it was told to Abraham and Sarah, they laughed at it, that Sarah was going to be used to be able to have this child, which would be a nation among many nations, which would be of a nation still living today. She was used, even though she didn't believe it. When we sit there and say that we're here on this earth and we say, well, I'm too old and I can't do this and I can't do that. Truthfully, what we're saying is, I don't trust you, God. I don't say that. Our actions show that we don't trust Him. Why would God still have you on this earth if you can't do anything else? Why would He sit there and have you specifically here for you in this church if you can't do anything else? He has you here for a purpose. Amen. Is there not a cause, as we mentioned there in the presentation? He has a plan for your life. Amen. I want to end with this another illustration. There was two men, elderly men, that challenged my pastor's father. I'm going to try to make it to where it goes right in a line. Challenged my pastor's father in an area of a certain doctrine in the Bible. They weren't arrogant about it. They were very graceful about it and trying to help him out. And he went home and studied it out. He was a pastor at the time. And sure enough, the Word of God showed unto him that he was doing things a little bit wrong. My pastor's dad trained my pastor in the ministry. And my pastor trained me in the ministry. I don't know those two men's name. They don't know me. They have gone on. But you know what? Two elderly men were used, and I give a little bit of credit unto them as well. You say, why? Because if they hadn't challenged, if they sat there and said, well, I'm too old, I can't do nothing, would I be here today? Would I be here today? Sarah might not see the nation today, might not have seen what happened later on, but she was still used. Listen, the elderly need to understand that there's a young generation coming up that thinks that everything ought to be owed to them, that they think they can work or not work and be able to get paid. Listen, we need some elderly to be able to teach the younger generation what it means to live godly. What does the Bible say there in the New Testament with the ladies to teach the younger women to be chaste, to be the keepers of the home, to love their husbands? We need some godly men once again to be able to teach the younger. We heard about this morning about teaching others as well, teaching other men. We need some elderly men to be able to do this. Amen. Don't get the idea that, well, I'm too old, I can't do nothing anymore. You might not see the results today. You might not see the results down the line. But I guarantee you, God will use you for a purpose. And I guarantee you, He will get the fruit out of it. Are we giving our best? Everything Abraham did here in this passage was the best. Wanted to make sure his worship, his fellowship, his sacrifice, his time, his family, showing unto others, he wanted to make sure it was all the best. Why? Because God gave him that opportunity. Here the Lord comes by, appeared unto him. This is my opportunity. I'm going to take advantage of it, and I'm going to give my best. Amen. So I ask you, are you giving your best, or are you giving your leftovers? Or are you even giving anything at all? Is he deserving to you to give of your best? He gave you all. He gave you everything. He went through things. Things that we can't even fathom. We see it in the Word of God, but I truly believe we don't understand and can't grasp what all He went through for you and I. What are you willing to go through to give Him your best?